We are very happy to be with you here on this Thursday, December 21st. It is the penultimate episode before our Christmas spectacular, which we just decided about 7 seconds ago that we were going to do. Hey, Jason, what does the Lowdown Christmas Spectacular entail?
You're going to have to wait until noon tomorrow.
Also, you're going to have to wait.
Yeah. I think I should talk about my favorite part of Home Alone. That seems to be a Jason Ross pleaser.
And that Die Hard's a Christmas movie?
Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Okay.
That's tomorrow.
But you can take tomorrow off if you like. Okay, that's perfect.
Yeah.
I'll stay at home and watch Face Off, Chris. Is that a Christmas movie? Huh?
It's not during Christmas, and it doesn't have any Christmas themes, so no.
Wow, he gets angry about that.
Why are you so mean to me today?
Like, how am I mean to you?
You were a jerk to me earlier when I was talking about the kale and the fruit basket in there. You were just mean. You're grouchy.
I'm grouchy.
You're grouchy.
Don't you remember you being grouchy to me the other day?
I don't recall.
Of course not.
I wasn't grouchy to you. I'm never grouchy.
You're salty.
I'm salty. That's exactly it, but not today. They say death, taxes, and interviewing Garrett Temple after a Sacramento Kings loss. Well, one of those is coming to an end today, and it's not death or taxes. We got Garrett Temple today at 1 o'clock. Kings, back-to-back wins. On the road, nonetheless, in Philadelphia and in Brooklyn. We'll get into that here in just a second. Sam Mamick, our KHDK NBA insider from USA Today, is going to be with us at 2:10. NFL stuff to get into. Lots of NBA last night. Some more great sound bites from Bill Belichick. We got tickets to see your Sacramento Kings, as a matter of fact. They're going to be taking on the Phoenix Suns December 29th at the Golden 1 Center. So here's what we'll do. If you download the new KHDK app from the App Store on your smartphone, whatever your smartphone is, just go to the App Store, search KHDK. You can download us. Listen to us. Take a snapshot of you listening to us. Take a selfie of you listening to us with the earbuds in your ear, whatever it may be. Send it to us on Twitter at JasonRoss1140 and at Damian Barling, and we'll enter your name in to win. You've got all 3 hours to do this.
Yeah.
We will pick the winner right before we get out of here at 3 o'clock, so you got all 3 hours. If you're at lunch, no worries. Do it when you get back to the office and you're supposed to be working. Just download the app real quick. Never miss a show. Again, remember, Garrett Temple at 1 o'clock and Sam Amick at 2:10. We don't want you to miss anything, and we don't want you to miss out on your chance to see the Sacramento Kings, who have suddenly won 2 games in a row. They're 11-20. Oh, let's talk about the 8th seed. Come on, someone's doing it. Someone's doing the math here and thinking it's. In fact, I know someone's doing it. We got a Twitter message already 2 hours ago. Couldn't wait for the show to start. Had to send it in. Where is it here? 4 games back from the 8th spot. It's not impossible. That's what the text we got said.
Well, that's factual, right? I guess not impossible.
Technically, that is accurate.
I'm not ready to go there yet, and that's fine. I'm actually glad that I'm not. I'm always, you know me, I'm optimistic, but I don't have those expectations for this team. But we can also like what we're seeing. I think that's fair. I think both things can be going on. I'm not really chasing the playoff thought yet. Just keep going. Just get better. Keep getting better. Keep winning games.
Just enjoy the ride.
Right. And if they get in the mix, awesome. If they don't, it still doesn't mean that they're not improving.
Yeah. Well, there's plenty to talk about with the Sacramento Kings coming off of these 2 wins. As we mentioned, we'll talk to Garrett Temple at 1 o'clock. If you want to send your thoughts in, do so. Text line is up here and in front of us, 44-11-40. You can get us on the phone lines as well. This is a great hour to do it, by the way. This 12 o'clock hour is a really good hour to get in. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Hello to our listeners all across America, including our dear friend Rosie, who's listening right now.
What?
In Nashville.
What up, Rosie?
We appreciate that. It looked really good there in the first quarter, and it looked pretty damn good in the second quarter for the Sacramento Kings. But if I'm the Brooklyn Nets, I'm going into that locker room thing, and there's no way they're going to shoot like that
right
for the rest of the game.
Yeah.
None. Just keep playing. And midway through the third, suddenly that, what was it, 21? Was it
21, largest lead of the season.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So that 21-point lead, oh, man, that's okay. Midway through the third quarter, suddenly it's 9. And then before you know it, it's 2.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, there was a point there in the finals, couple minutes. Like, just let the ball was like Quincy Acey had that awful play where the ball like he traveled. First of all, somehow he got to the 3-point line, to the foul line without dribbling, which is, I think, one of the most astonishing moves in the history of basketball, and no travel called. Then the ball like bounced off his face and kicked out of bounds. It's like, let this game end before something stupid is going to happen. Please let this game end. Mm. And that's the way I felt there in the final minutes. But Kings won. They're 5-4 in their last 9 road games.
That's what's been impressive. And they've already played 19 road games. So that's the most in the league. They've done things better. And part of it is, I think there's two things that are happening, but it gets back to our almost daily Kings conversation on, do you want the veterans? Do you want the young guys? But Zebo's been great. And now, Damian, it's 4, maybe 5 games in a row. George Hill has been more than impressive. So it's nice to have the young guys on the roster, and hopefully they continue to develop. But the two veterans right now that are playing really well are George Hill and Zach Randolph. And I think going into the year, you could probably look at the roster and say, yeah, those are the two best players on the team. They have the best track record. They've been the best NBA players, with the exception of Vince Carter. But, you know, that was years ago for Vince. Well, these guys are playing well right now, and it's really helping the team. And then you can get Willie to do some things, or Buddy, not yesterday per se, but Frank Mason, or all your other guys helping out. And I think it's they're in a good spot right now, which is refreshing.
No, it is. But look, can we point out, by the way, that George Hill played 34 minutes last night? Mm-hmm. And Bogdan played 33. Was it the Brooklyn game? Did George Hill play like 35 minutes in that game?
Well,
Game. Someone played 35 minutes in that Brooklyn game. The point is, we're always talking about, man, guys barely eclipse that 30-minute mark. Now we're starting to see who, I think, and I'm hesitant to say this because I feel like this could change, you know, Saturday against San Antonio here at the Golden One Center, that we're finally maybe starting to see the guys that Dave Yeager's comfortable with.
Yeah.
And the guys that he really, really wants out there. Now, De'Aaron Fox isn't there.
Right.
So I guess that gets factored, or not I guess, that should be factored in as well. But maybe we're starting to see who he's getting comfortable with and who he likes out there on the floor.
Yeah, could be. And he's getting the results from more of these guys.
Or I could just be overreacting.
Well, it feels like it could change again. I don't know. I don't know if they're totally set. But, I mean, I think by and large, we are going to see Zach Randolph and George Hill play some good minutes right now. That's what's going well. I think he's juggled Mason and Fox with different injuries there with Fox. But, you know, he still counts on Costa, you know, to do things that he can provide for them. He'll play Vince Carter periodically. Garrett Temple plays quite a bit. I still think, in the end, Dave Yeager ultimately trusts the veterans. I think the organization wants to see the young guys. I don't think it's a nasty, combative thing where they're not on quite the same plane. But I think they're trying to find a happy medium, and they're getting closer to that.
Why do you think they're getting closer?
I guess because of the results that they're winning. And they're winning with the veterans, I feel like, more so. But getting enough production, I mean, Bogdanovich has been pretty good. He's playing minutes. Buddy usually gets a bulk minutes and in a role that I think has been clearly defined. I feel like Buddy Hield, his role is score off the bench. I feel like he knows that he's going to play. If he's shooting the ball better, he'll play a little bit more. Yesterday he did not. He played a little bit less.
Well, Buddy and Frank really struggled yesterday shooting.
They're about the only two.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. Which I don't know if that says something about the way that the offense was flowing or if that says something about Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So let's keep this in mind also. Joel Embiid didn't play
a
couple of nights ago, Monday night, Tuesday night, whatever night that was, and Tuesday night, and they're still Brooklyn. Like, it's still the Brooklyn
Nets.
They have the same number of wins. But Brooklyn is one of those teams where it's like, yeah, I want the Kings to beat Brooklyn. I want them to beat Phoenix. I want them to beat the Lakers. I want them to beat the Hawks or the Bulls. There are certain teams that I feel like the Kings are better than them. Like, no matter what you think about the Sacramento Kings, they're not the worst team in the league. They're far from the worst team in the league. I feel like those are the teams that they should beat. They should have wins over Brooklyn. The one against Philly is a pretty damn good win.
Yeah.
Even without Embiid out there, I mean, they still have a pretty good treasure trove of players out there in Philly. So that was a good win for them. And the fact that now we're starting to see them win games on the road when they didn't earlier in this year, that's, you know, a sign of a team growing.
Yeah, what's interesting, I was looking at this yesterday, not the playoffs per se, but the teams that aren't in. If we take currently, Damian, what do you think about Utah, Lakers, Clippers, Suns, Grizzlies, Mavericks, and Kings. That's the batch that's not in. I don't see big separation from, you know, certain days. Like the Lakers had a great win yesterday. Okay, fine. Kings have had some nice wins, winning at Oracle. I don't know that I see a large separation amongst all those teams, but I feel like you could even extend that a little bit to the bottom couple teams that are in at the moment. I mean, do you feel like the Pelicans are that much better than the Kings? The Denver Nuggets? The Blazers? They're better, but I don't know how large that gap is.
All you're doing with those teams, OJ, is you're, well, Anthony Davis, DeMarcus right. Cousins.
They have higher level top
CJ McCollum, right. Damian Lillard. Yep. You know, you're picking names, whereas instead of looking at the total, you know, the total package of the team, you're just, Marc Gasol. Or you're just picking guys here and there. Hell, Oklahoma City just got, a game above 500?
Yeah,
and that's only because
there.
It's only because they won. They're like 16 and 15. That's only because they won last night.
Right. And I guess when you do that, when someone from away from here looks at the Kings, who are they spotlighting?
Right,
are they picking Zach Randolph, I guess? George Hill? De'Aaron? They might still
say
De'Aaron
Fox. I was going to say it. That might be who it is, but that's because they were looking at draft coverage.
Right.
You know, they haven't watched him a lot this year. You know, they could probably name, you know, three Lakers before they name a Sacramento King. You know, outside of De'Aaron Fox. Oh, isn't Zach Randolph there? Or, oh, isn't this person there? Yeah. Or, who
Vince
else did
Carter,
they get?
Right?
Yeah, wasn't Frank Mason doing something really cool for them? Who else did they sign? Oh, George Hill. Yeah, he stunk earlier this year, right? Where, you know, that's fine.
Yeah, like it's different when you follow it every
De'Aaron
day.
Fox can be that big name.
Right.
When you know, the time comes. Or perhaps it's going to be Frank Mason or, you know, Buddy Hield. I hate the one who, you know, Buddy has been the most consistent one over the course of the last couple of weeks. And he just hit a wall last night.
Yeah, he had a bad shooting day.
And, watching last night, when you see the lead start to fall, you start to think they played last night.
Mm-hmm.
Crap. I'm sure G-Man pointed that out on the broadcast. Like, you just don't want those types of things to be. I honestly thought as that game was winding down, they were going to. That was like, this is just such a Sacramento Kings loss. Like, you see, they still played bad in the fourth quarter, by the way.
Yeah, they had a quarter in the teens.
That's exactly where I was going. If we're pointing out all the first, what was it? 36 in the first. Half of that in the fourth.
Yeah.
You talk about running out of energy.
Like, that's winning.
You could just see it once that happened. I was like, I don't want halftime to come.
Yeah.
Don't let halftime. 36-28, don't let halftime come. You sit in there, you get cold, just don't let it just. Can we forego halftime and the lady who flips the bowls under her head and just keep playing? But
she's entertaining.
She is entertaining, but I didn't want the Kings to blow that game last night against Brooklyn.
And, you know, for whatever it's worth, it is the first time they've won the second night of a back-to-back. So that's something they hadn't been able to do. They have played more road games than any team. They've done pretty well, I think, away from home. I mean, they've got a decent amount of road wins, but, you know, it's just going to be. The whole thing about this year to me is improvement. We've said it from the beginning, and I feel comfortable right now saying, yeah, they were better in December than they were in November. And if we say, hey, January is a pretty good month, they were better in January than December, and that kind of thing. And we're seeing whether it's roles, I don't know if roles are 100% defined, but by far, Zach Randolph, we now remember before, we're like, who's the best player on the team?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Zach Randolph's playing like it.
Yeah.
By far.
Sure.
George Hill. All of a sudden, four or five games in a row. Mm-hmm. All right. Now we're like, all right, where's De'Aaron? Let's get him going. Mm-hmm. Let's find Mason again. Let's, you know, Buddy's identified his role. I think Willie is, for the most part, pretty consistent. So it's, you know, Garrett Temple knows his role. We all want him to make more shots. I think things are falling into place. But for the people that want this team to forget the veterans and say this is a complete waste, well, those people aren't going to be happy.
Garrett had a hell of a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
Against Philly.
Big basket.
He had a huge game against Philly. Well, you know what he did last night? And this, you know, this goes back to when you're struggling, when Garrett is struggling offensively, you leave him out there. That chase down block in the fourth quarter.
That was great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he did the block. I think the ball went out of bounds when he blocked it or hit off somebody. And you could see him, they weren't celebrating. There was like, you could see him, get another stop.
Yeah.
We have to get the ball back. Like, we're not blowing this game right now. And, it sure felt like, I mean, they being Brooklyn, just got opportunity.
Oh, my
opportunity
goodness.
Opportunity after opportunity to close that out. And Garrett, I think, missed a corner three, or at least a corner shot. I think Bogdan missed one as well. And it's like, just can a ball go in the basket and we stop sweating out this freaking game against Brooklyn in December? But either way, the Kings get the win, 104-99. Kings now 11-20. Next game Saturday.
Yeah, and you know, yesterday one of the things that happens a lot to the Kings, I thought might happen because it felt like a slow lead that they were losing. I mean, it wasn't like a dramatic, they just fell apart. It was just chipping away.
And I believe you used the term last night, slow leak.
Yeah, I did. And they were hitting threes. That's what Brooklyn does. And Brooklyn, what did they end up taking? 42.
42 threes.
Made 15. I mean, that's eight more makes. That's usually, that's a loss. I mean, that's 24 more points you're getting beyond the arc. But the Kings were able to overcome that in other areas and
they were
shot
17
the ball
of
well.
20 from the line. Which
yeah, thank goodness.
The number of free throws that they shot, that's still one less than James Harden took last night when he scored 51. But for them, it's like, okay, that's good. But the fact that they made the fact that they shot, what is that, 85%? The fact that they shot 85% from the foul line, that's a huge step forward for them, for a team that has regularly been shooting like 68. 70,
right?
Because they just get to the foul line so rarely, but that was a good that was a good stat for them. 12 turnovers for those who keep track of those things. 14 assists again. But that's interesting. 14 assists given the first half that they had.
Yeah,
the ball was going in the basket, but it wasn't necessarily moving around a lot.
Not enough. But Costa led him in shot attempts. You all right with that? Him and Zebo with 11 each. Attempts, but Costa had the one move where he had it on the wing and he just went right by him and went to the. They had so many advantages inside that they did utilize early on and it worked.
So, with the exception of that one,
yeah,
right? Only because if you had asked me 8 seconds ago,
yeah,
okay, remember when Costa Kufis,
yeah,
... I would have, remember that. So, if he shoots if he gets you the quietest 12 points. What, 8 rebounds?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm fine with that.
That's a good night for him.
Yeah, I got no...
That's production.
I'm just... My thing with Costa is he's just not particularly memorable.
Yeah.
Last night, Garrett didn't shoot well.
Right.
But if you watched, you remember the block.
Sure.
Right?
I remember Scal's dunk. He had a nice dunk. Just no one was there. Just ripped down the rim, basically.
George Hill.
Yeah,
like
you
remember some of the big shots here. You go back to the Philly game. You mentioned Garrett Temple's clutch basket there. So there's always things that you can pinpoint. Costa Coop, so far I have... other than the meme or the gif, I have zero memory of Costa Kufis this year.
Mm-hmm.
So if he wants to go out there and quietly get a 12-8, awesome.
Keep doing it.
I'm all about it.
Yeah. But give us more memes, too.
Oh, please. Yeah. Particularly ones like the last one. That's an all-timer. That is an all-timer. Just no clue what is happening in that. No clue. But it is wonderful. The fact that Costa Kufis is still on the Kings blows my mind. That's on the text line. At 44, 11,
he's helping him
40.
Out.
Yeah, he is helping. But I still wonder if we're talking trade deadline moves, that he's not on the top of that list.
Could be. I mean, I could see another team using contract very friendly. Yeah.
I also, unfortunately, think Garrett might be at the top of that list also.
I don't want that.
My vote is no.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that the front office cares what I think. I'm going to assume they don't.
Yeah.
But I vote no. I know you vote. The three of us just say no, adamantly no. Can we do a show with a player who's not on the Kings?
Oh, we'll make that happen.
Is that frowned
There's
upon?
There's too much of a love affair for Garrett. That...
Garrett Temple of the Cleveland Cavaliers joins us here.
What's up, Garrett? How's Cleveland?
Yeah. what else do we got here? They are actually developing their youth. They are getting big time in working out their kinks. It's from the text line at 441140. Okay. Okay. I don't necessarily agree with that. I don't think the youth is developing, but okay. Bogdan, I think, I don't even think it's fair to count him.
Right.
Really, like, how old is he? Like 20 something?
Yeah. Mid 20s, right?
I was going to say 26.
Yeah. He's played the most bad. I mean, I think there's no coincidence that him and Buddy and Frank are the farthest along of the youngest players because they played the most. So I just think that makes the most sense, but. I don't know when we would say, how do you quantify that when someone's developed? I mean, I know what they're saying because I agree with the statement. Like, I don't feel like, oh, De'Aaron Fox is ready. Scal is ready. No, I don't feel they are either. But I don't know how, when would we say, when do we know that? When do we feel that?
Well, What if Frank Mason was playing 33 minutes on a regular basis, 35 minutes on a regular basis? Wouldn't that lead you to the assumption that he's developed?
I guess so. I mean, are we just talking about like results or what? You know what I mean? Like, well, I could picture a Laker fan right now saying, Kyle Kuzma, he's right. He's developed. He had an awesome game, but is he all the way? I just don't know what how we quantify it.
I'm glad you brought him up. He had a big night last night. We were talking, you know, we're talking about, you know, Buddy Hield, Frank Mason, some, and, you know, Bogdan Bogdanovic, who's 25 years old. Isn't Kuzma, is he a four-year player or three-year?
I can't remember if he was four or three, but I feel
but
like
he's not a one-and-done
no,
is the point
not.
That I'm getting at.
Correct.
So he's coming in. He's having a very, very good year. I made the argument. You're right. He's not the rookie of the year. Ben Simmons probably is the rookie
of
the year.
But he's on the list.
But he's the best player. I know Donovan Mitchell's on the list. You could put different players on the list. I really like the way that he's played this year. And I think he's very high on the rookie of the year list right now. We're starting to look at, man, maybe one and done's not the route to go unless you truly are a special player.
Yeah.
Who was the last one who came out right away and it was like, oh, there it is. De'Aaron's not doing it.
Right.
Where's the number one overall pick this year?
Fultz, yeah.
Yeah.
Still injured.
Yeah,
but
you haven't seen him. Ben Simmons doesn't count. Like, I'm sorry, it doesn't. Like, he was around the Philadelphia 76ers all of last year. He doesn't count.
Mm-hmm.
I know you can't tell a guy not to go make some absurd amount of millions of dollars.
Right.
But, man, when you start to get like a pretty thick booklet of, oh, well, you know, look how well Buddy Hield is playing in his second year, but he's 20, you know, 3 years old or whatever he is. I don't know what he is. Kyle Kuzma was around in college for a few years. You start to pick players like, yeah, when was the last really successful one and done who didn't start getting good in their third or fourth year?
Right.
There are people concerned about Andrew. You really got to sign Andrew Wiggins to that giant extension?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
Because you invested in him when he was 18 or 19 or whatever it is.
And you don't want to see him great on another team.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You have to invest that 100 and however much million it is and know that that player is not going to get good until that second contract.
Right.
But it's interesting that you see these players now, some of these rookies playing so well, who Kyle Kuzma could be a bargain by the time his second deal comes around.
Sure.
Same could be true for De'Aaron Fox or Frank Mason or some of these other guys. But right now, you look at players who spent a few years in college. And now, you know, there's the big baller brand, and it's not what it's called, but LeVar Ball's basketball league that he was talking about. It's like, what are we doing to the NBA right now?
Right.
What is it called? The Junior Basketball Association, and the freaking logo is Lonzo Ball?
Wow.
Are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
We'll get into that later. We'll talk more Kings at the top of the 1 o'clock hour with a King, Garrett Temple. He'll join us at 1 o'clock. Lots of other NBA stuff. You mentioned the Lakers there. You mentioned Kyle Kuzma, man. He had a hell of a night. Put an end to the Rockets' 14-game win streak. But Arden had a big one as well. We'll talk about that. We'll continue to take your text here at 44-11-40. We got these Kings tickets to give away. Get these phone calls in. We're just getting started. Hour number one of the Lowdown. We'll get into that stuff with the Seahawks and Russell Wilson here at some point today, probably in the 2 o'clock hour, probably around 2:30 or so. We'll try to dig into that. But I don't know that the Seahawks were fined $100,000. I don't know that that's enough.
That goes to a team, it feels like. I mean, it's still a significant amount of money, but what does that do to a team? Does that affect any of the players?
No, I don't think so. I'm trying to think. Wasn't the Patriot Spygate fine $1 million? I know Belichick like Chris is pulling it up right now. I feel like this is so insignificant.
Amount of money or the punishment, or
everything,
all of it.
Everything. Like, because now that this is out, right? Now you know Houston has to get one because the same exact thing happened to Tom Savage. Tom Savage got knocked out, convulsed, twitched, whatever. Walked to the sideline, was back in the game a couple of plays later, Chris.
So Belichick was fined $500,000, and the Patriots were fined $250,000 for Spygate.
Whoa.
Okay, so Belichick got more than the Patriots did. Boy, that tells you a whole lot about Spygate.
Yeah.
A whole lot that we'll never, ever know about.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, That's an entirely different conversation. We'll get into that. Sam Amick, 210, Garrett Temple, just about 30 minutes from now, right at the very top of the 1 o'clock hour. We also got one small thought about the American Football Conference, the AFC, coming in the 1 o'clock hour as well, as soon as we wrap up with Garrett Temple. So the Kings won last night. Good. Back-to-back wins. Good for them. Puts them at 11-20. Got a tough road ahead, though, with the Spurs coming to the Golden 1 Center on Saturday. They got the Clippers in Los Angeles. They got the Cavs at the Golden 1 Center next Wednesday. They got quite a bit of work ahead of them to close out 2017.
Yeah, but if they can keep this going, because what they've done, too, is scoring has gone up a little bit. Shooting percentage has gone up. They're still near the bottom in a lot of the offensive categories, but they have improved. And hopefully they can just keep it going. And they're kind of doing it in reverse, right? You normally get well at home and then try to find some road wins. They've done pretty well on the road here lately. The last two trips going 2-2, so that's nice.
Really odd text here at 44-11-40, though nothing new. Random tip of the day. Adductor is the muscle that contracts towards the center of the body. And abductor is the muscle that helps move the hips away from the body. I don't know that that's a tip. I just think that's a medical note. A tip would be don't hurt them.
Yeah.
Because it's incredibly painful when you do.
Yeah.
That's a tip. But thanks for the medical breakdown.
Okay, I like that.
It's very uncomfortable, by the way. Very, very uncomfortable. James Harden had 51 last night against the Lakers. And they lost.
Mm-hmm.
Their first loss in 15 games with Chris Paul in the lineup. And their first loss in the last 14 games.
Yeah, though Chris Paul eventually left with his own little tweak. But
wasn't it an adductor? Isn't that what it was? No, I'm serious. Yeah. Isn't that what he hurt?
I think so.
Didn't Chris Paul hurt his adductor last night?
Adductor.
AD.
AD.
Yeah, adductor. That's how I refer to him, is the adductor and the abductor.
Okay, so it was the AD?
It was the adductor.
Yeah.
That's the one that moves from the center of the body, Jason, is Dr. Texline reminds us here with a tip. 44-11-40.
Yeah. WebMD.
WebMD, yes, indeed. 15 for 27. I made the joke. He damn near shot the same amount of free throws that the Sacramento Kings did. Sacramento Kings were 17 of 20 from the line. Mm-hmm. James Harden was 17 of 21.
Jeez. Always.
He gets to the basket pretty well.
Flailing around, too, though. He gets a lot of calls. But that was a great first. The game was fun. When the Lakers were up 20-something, the Rockets came all the way. I'm like, oh, man. Mm-hmm. Lakers, you played great. You're not going to win this. And then they got the lead back, and they played well. It was a good game for the Lakers.
Yeah.
It really was.
It wasn't just the two streaks that we just mentioned, the 15-game streak with Chris Paul in the lineup, the 14-game streak. That's not all that came to an end. 55 straight wins when scoring 115-plus points for the Rockets.
Wow.
That's gone. 29 straight when making 40-plus percent of their threes. 21 straight when making 15-plus three-pointers. And then we mentioned 15 straight with Chris Paul. How about this one? 6 straight when James Harden scores 50-plus.
He's done it that many times.
Right? There's actually a stat for that. That's how many times James Harden scores. And Keith, if you're listening, player, yes, James Harden is right now the front runner for the MVP.
Okay.
Rockets fans, yes.
LeBron?
James Harden.
Just a tweak.
He can't have it.
Yeah.
He can't have it. You know better. He's second. The only reason, because he can't have it.
Yeah.
You know better.
I think when halftime came around, Kuzma had 24 and Harden had 30 at half. I went, my goodness, what is going to happen? They both cooled off a little bit, but both had great games.
Nice to cool off that way, right?
Yeah.
Kuzma scored 38, career high for him, 7 three-pointers. First time Houston's lost since November 14th.
Wow.
Celtics also lost last night. I bet there's a stat somewhere that tells us the last time the Celtics and Rockets lost on the same day. They got beat by Miami. It was interesting, though. Miami was up 87-26 with 2.5 minutes left. The Celtics went on a 13-3-1. Kyrie scored 9 of those 13, but they fell one short, lost 90-89. The Kelly Olynyk back in Boston for 32 points against his former team.
He hadn't done that at all in Miami yet.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No, but he looked awfully good last night. We joked about the Thunder earlier. They beat the Jazz. They not only beat the Jazz.
Crushed them early.
They beat up the Jazz.
Yeah.
107-79. As bad as it's been for the Sacramento Kings on some quarters, and there have been some bad ones, Utah was outscored in the first quarter 25-9 yesterday.
Game over.
Yeah, good luck coming back from that. But all, you know, the big three all, you know, had their little run. Paul George played well. Paul George had a nasty dunk last night, by the way. If you didn't see that, go out of your way to see it. It was, yeah, it was a good one. Carmelo, both of them played well. Russell Westbrook led the way, 24 points, 10 rebounds. But again, the Thunder, remember, the Thunder beat the Warriors.
Right.
So them beating the Jazz isn't all that impressive, but they're finally above 500. I don't know if they've been above 500 this season, but they're 16-15 now.
And we joked about that before when they were kind of hovering at the 8-9 spot. 16-15 basically puts them in a tie for fifth. So just they could have two good weeks and they'll be fine. Mm-hmm. But why are they not clicking with that kind of high-level talent?
I saw David Fizdale on SportsCenter this morning, and he was asked about the Oklahoma City Thunder. He's like, I wouldn't worry about any team's chemistry until we get past Christmas.
Okay.
Christmas is Monday.
Right.
So I don't know. Was last night's win against the Utah Jazz the switch that clicked? Because right. I would have thought when they beat Golden State, it's like, oh,
yeah,
look at that.
Right.
Here we go. Yeah, not so much. So I don't know that we said this, I think, was it with last year's Cleveland Cavaliers? I don't know that the switch is going to flip. Like, we haven't seen it. And then for the Cavs last year, the closer and closer we got to playoff time, suddenly they looked completely indestructible.
Yeah.
I don't know that that can be the case with the Oklahoma City Thunder. We know that they play well defensively. I don't know how you get these three guys in rhythm. Steven Adams was very good last night, too, by the way. It's worth pointing out some of the role players that they have there. But, yeah, Steven Adams was solid. But I don't know what it's going to do for them.
Yeah, I think we maybe, because of where the seasons has been switched forward a little bit, need to change our mind on kind of those reference points, like Christmas being the, yeah, don't worry about anybody till Christmas. Well, what are the Kings at? 31 games. They'll play another one Saturday. So they'll be at 32 games mm-hmm. at Christmas. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it until the All-Star break. Well, remember, last year there's only 25 games left after the All-Star break. I mean, I think our timelines are a little bit different. So, I mean, we're not that far from the halfway point of the season.
Yeah.
So, we're not early anymore.
Yeah, no, we're I mean, you pointed this out over, you know, a couple of weeks ago. We're a quarter way through the season. Now we're well above.
That. Kings are almost halfway done with their road schedule.
Yeah, we're well above a quarter of the way. Now we're getting – that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Because it feels like the Sacramento Kings just don't like playing at the Golden 1 Center. Like,
right.
You know what? We're not winning here. Let's just go on the road. But with how many is it?
They've played 19.
19 of the 31 games on the road?
41, yeah. Oh, the 31 they played, yeah. But they played 19 of their 41 road. But, yeah, 31 total games so far.
Wow.
But the home games are coming, obviously. And you take a team like, I think it was the Knicks that still have the lowest. They've played 11 road games.
Mm.
Kings have played 19.
And that's a team that people are looking at like, oh, look at how they're playing.
Yeah.
Look at how well New York is playing without Carmelo. Well, they're going to hit a road schedule. And the King, what was it? You gave me the Kings go east like four times this year.
Yeah.
Which is amazing to me because the Washington Wizards, who, you know, they have no relation to this, but I'm just pointing out the Washington Wizards go west twice.
Mm-hmm.
And they've already done it.
Yeah.
They've already been out west twice. They don't come back this way.
They're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Kings
used to do it that way. Play five or six and be done, but they've gone back and forth and back and forth.
Kings, oh, no, let's go out east again. Let's go get a taste of that cold weather.
Yeah.
Interesting. As Bill Belichick is, we mentioned the Patriots there a second ago. Is there beef? Is there a dissension? What's up with Brady's trainer? You know, Brady's trainer was a part of that book that Chris has been reading, the TB12 method or something like that. And a reporter tried to frame a question to Bill Belichick. It went as bad as you can expect, maybe even worse than you'd expect. We'll play that for you, give you the background on that story. We got Garrett Temple joining us in 17 minutes. We'll also let you know how you can win Kings tickets next. Did you see the amount of money that Kobe merchandise made?
That's a scam.
There's no way that's real, right?
No, that's fake.
AEG, the owner of the Staples Center, reported that they had a huge sales day for Kobe Bryant-related merchandise. $824,000.
Wait, what's that number?
$824,000. Come on,
nothing
man.
Fishy there.
stop that. There is no way that's real. When he, his last game, they made $1.9 million in Kobe Bryant-related merchandise.
Yeah.
$824,000. Come on, man. Stop it.
No, I believe it.
There's no, you don't. You're the most cynical of all of us. There's no way you believe that.
They bought that much, so when they sold out, they could say they sold $824,000 worth.
They didn't sell out. They bought the rest.
Well.
I can agree with that, too.
Yeah.
Okay, now you combine those two theories together, and it's probably very possible that that happened.
Did people buy 8 and 24s that day? You think people were
there?
People
were jerseys. You know what? I actually didn't expect you to ask that question. There was a jersey made specially for that day that was selling for $524. The hats, I think, were like $40. Like everything was uber expensive. Yeah.
$824,000 worth.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay.
But that's it. Not
nothing
a
fishy.
I love how the numbers are always perfectly round also.
Yeah.
It's never like $824,000, 173 cents. It's always this perfectly round number.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Stop that. Stop that. And stop this. Get your boy.
Already?
No. Okay. This isn't necessarily a get your boy. This story has developed a little bit while we were away yesterday. But so Tom Brady's personal fitness guru, which is what I think he's referred to as, is no longer allowed around the Patriots. Like his access, apparently this guy was allowed to fly on the plane. He had sideline access during the games. He has his own like office at Gillette Stadium. And there's the TB12 Center, which is out on Patriot Place, which is right outside the Gillette Stadium. Apparently, the Patriots, for whatever reason, have shut all this down for reasons that haven't been made public.
They're trading Brady?
Now, that's what I personally think it is. No, but what I've heard, this is just trying to put some things together. He started treating Gronk also.
Yeah.
And now a bunch of players wanted to go to him. Well, they have a full licensed medical staff. This guy isn't licensed. He's just some guy who's hooked up
with Brady believes in.
Right.
Yeah.
Who hooked up with the right guy. And now he's not allowed to treat any player that's not. He's only allowed to work on Tom Brady. He's not allowed to work on another Patriot. Tom Brady was asked about that on his weekly radio visit to WEEI earlier this week.
No, I don't have any comment on that. Other than to say Alex has been, you know, well documented, a huge part of what I do, and so fortunate to have him. Not always a friend, but everything that we've been able to do together. And Alex has been a huge, huge reason why, you know, I'm still playing.
So in 2015, the Boston Globe reported that the team's medical and training staffs complained to Bill Belichick about Alex Guerrero and his alternative treatment practices in questionable background. This dude was marketing a drink that he said prevented brain injuries. He had to pull that drink off the market because it was quickly labeled as BS and had to give refunds to everyone who bought it because of that claim. So there's that. Belichick was asked about this yesterday. You want to guess how it went?
Oh, I can only imagine.
Coach, would you say that Tom's relationship with his trainer is like if your adult son or child who's hanging out with somebody you didn't really care for all that much? I mean, if you're an adult child, what are you supposed to say?
I'm not really sure what the question. I mean, you're talking about my children. I don't think that's appropriate here. I'm trying to coach a football team. Like, what are we talking about here?
I just meant, is it something that kind of frustrates you because it takes the focus off of him taking coaching from you? In your opinion?
There's a lot of pronouns there. Like, I don't really know who's talking about what.
Wow. Pronouns, huh?
First of all, can you just listen to the question again?
Coach, would you say that Tom's relationship with his trainer is like if your adult son or child is hanging out with somebody you didn't really care for all that much? I mean,
what? What? Did anyone get that? Anybody?
You don't like the company your kids are keeping.
So
your adult kid.
So okay, right. So the question is dealing with Tom Brady's trainer like your adult kid is hanging out with someone you don't like?
Yeah, that's the question.
Why did he think that that was an appropriate question to ask Bill Belichick? Why didn't he just ask, hey, do you got a problem with Tom Brady's trainer? Like, why didn't you
well,
just...
you know the answer to that's going
to
be.
I got a football team.
I guess that's
a lot
fair. Yeah.
Pronouns.
That's a pretty damn good impression right there, Jason.
Belichick Ross. Sounds like the old grizzled cop that's been in a dirty police department for 25 years and he's just sick of it.
Your adult child, what are you supposed to say?
I'm not really sure what the question. I mean, you're talking about my children. I don't really think that's appropriate here. I'm trying to coach a football team. Like, what are we talking about here?
I'm trying to coach a football team. He put an emphasis on football there, just so everyone knew this the football team.
I just meant, is it something that kind of frustrates you because it takes the focus off of him taking coaching from you, in your opinion?
Again, there's a lot of pronouns there. Like, I don't even know who's talking about what.
That's my favorite part.
He knew what he was talking about.
That is my absolute favorite part. There's a lot of pronouns there.
I don't know who's talking about what.
Oh, that is my favorite part. It sounds like he's trying to be a ventriloquist. Like he's not moving his mouth.
I know.
It's like it.
Use your full voice. You're a coach. Coaches yell. Where's the, all right, come on, guys.
This is a work, right? Like this is an act. That's not really the like. Does he sit around? Chris, I'm passing the mashed potatoes over here. Is that how? Is that what he does?
I'm trying to eat dinner here.
Yeah, I just want to go out on my boat and ride my boat around. Like,
I'm worried about eating dinner. That's all I'm worried.
I don't like that guy that you're hanging out with.
I don't think that's appropriate here. It's family time.
There could be just a fantastic NFL Network like show.
Yeah,
the real Bill Belichick. Like maybe he drops. Maybe he's got this loud, boisterous sound, and he like cusses every other word. I have no. Maybe he actually moves his mouth when he talks.
I don't believe it.
You don't believe it?
No.
Again, there's a lot of pronouns there. Like, I don't even know who's talking about what.
That's going on. That's going to be one of the clips.
Yes,
that's,
we need that.
That's one of my new. That's one of my new favorite clips. You want to go see the Sacramento Kings play the Phoenix Suns December 29th? We have got your tickets. We're going to tell you how to get those in just a heartbeat. We also got a blood drive going on, Jay Ross.
That's right. The Sacramento Kings blood drive is tomorrow from 10 a.m. until 4 p.m. at 6147 Sunrise Boulevard. That's over there at Marketplace at Birdcage. And, of course, I hope you know that every a couple of seconds, someone in the U.S. needs blood. So it's a great opportunity out there to help others out. All donors will receive a pair of Kings tickets to an upcoming game, compliments of blood source. KHDK is going to be there from 10 to 2. Slamson will be out there from 11 to noon. Kings Dancers from 11 to 2. So it's going to be a good time out there. But make sure you check out the Sacramento Kings blood drive tomorrow from 10 until 4.
We'll let you know how you can win tickets here today with us. And we'll talk with Garrett Temple next.